How did you first come to work on Family Guy?
I had been, I'm sitting in my office, and I had sent stuff, you know, you're always sending things out, and Bodie Chandler, who was the music director at Hanna-Barbera, said, I got this guy named Seth MacFarlane, and he's a young producer, and he's doing these shows like called What a Cartoon or some kind of goofy little title where they would give up-and-coming guys like a seven-minute show to do.
Mm-hmm.
And he had a show called Larry and Steve. I said, well, you know, bring him over because give me a chance to get to know the up-and-comer guys and do a little show for them. So we did this Larry and Steve, which is a dog and this old guy, and it was typical Seth humor.
Mm-hmm.
And the minute Seth walked in my studio, he went over to the piano and started playing all the DuckTales themes by memory in the right key. And I go, oh, who is this guy? But he has perfect pitch, and he grew up coming home from school in Connecticut, and he would go and listen to DuckTales, and then he would listen to Star Trek The Next Generation. Always. So he knew all my music, but he knew it like almost insanely well. And I was kind of shocked by that, but that's how we started, and we did this Larry and Steve thing, and it was, you know, really funny, and did all my studio. We didn't really have an orchestra. I think maybe I might have put one or two instruments in there with the tracks. Then he says, hey, you know, I've got this thing I'm going to work on. So he quit Hanna-Barbera and did Family Guy basically in his apartment for a year. And he says, I want you to do the pilot. I said, yeah, okay, when? He says, oh, it's coming. Then he calls me one day. He says, I'm ready for you to come, you know, get the show and do the pilot. I said, great, and I get it. And I said, well, when does it go? He says, tomorrow at 10 a.m. So, I mean, I'm not kidding. So I scored the pilot from, like, oh, I think it basically 10 o'clock in the morning one day when he told me that, recorded it, scored it all, you know, to paper, and then sequenced it all, recorded it, mixed it, and didn't sleep, and went over to the dub the next day at, like, 10:30 and handed it to him. And in Santa Monica, and they did the pilot, and next thing I know, there's this huge infrastructure. It's got like 1,000 people working there, and, you know, it's this big hit. But we worked on it for a year before anybody saw it, you know, before it got picked up.
So that time period didn't give you a lot of time.
No, it was incredible. I don't know, you know, it's just, it's I had to just kind of, you know, use all the training I've had to, you know, to just be able to land on all fours, even, you know, like you can throw a cat up in the air, right, and they're always going to land on their feet. I think after a while, because you've been through so many things here, you can pretty much land on at least three of the feet.
All right, well, there's also another composer assigned to the show as well, Walter Murphy. Do you work with him at all, or are you scoring individual episodes now?
Well, Walter and I are good friends. We both worked for Mike Post and Pete Carpenter on shows like The A-Team and Hardcastle McCormick. And, so we got to know each other because we were doing that for about 5 years. And then sometimes when I would get overwhelmed, like with DuckTales or something, I called Disney and say, look, I'm in a jam. They would let me bring in other composers to work under my themes and other stuff. And Walter came in a couple occasions and rescued me. And so we've been friends, you know, for a long time. So when I was doing this Family Guy when we started, I was surprised that he was, Walter was, but he was a friend of David Zuckerman, who was the co-executive producer at the time, and was brought in from that side. And, you know, nobody talked to me one way or another. But I'm glad because the show is so horrendous work-wise. If one person did it, they figured that they'd be at Forest Lawn, you know, in no time. So be planting your composers in a row. So it would be, so it's kind of nice because Walter can really work hard on his show, and then I do in one, and you know, we trade it back and forth.
Mm-hmm. So now you must have to change musical hats quite often during the scoring of a Family Guy episode.
Mm-hmm.
How do you do that without losing sort of focus on the show?
Well, that the changes are the show. The show has no plot as far as, you know, like an Aristotelian idea of a plot starting here. Everything's non-linear, like all of a sudden a character goes, you know, that reminds me of when I used to chew bubble gum or something, and it just cuts to a, you know, a a completely non-related, you know, clip. And many of these clips are just made up and they just stick them in. So they have nothing to do with the story. So it's always a jumble. But I go back to my training at Dick Groves and arranging and stuff like that, that we were trained how to break down a style. Mm-hmm. And we would do 20, 30 styles in the course of that, of our training. And, you know, you'd have Broadway, and then you'd have some kind of jazz thing, and then you'd have some sort of a, you know, whatever, all these different styles. And we kind of learned how to break things down. And so many of the shows will have 10 to 20 or more style changes. You know, you'll have a two lap dance cues that have to sound just like lap dance, and then you'll have a bunch of dramatic cues, and then you'll have, they go to France, and then they go to, Peter does some big song and dance, and then you have some, and then you have bluesy jazz, and then you might have a jazz source or something. There's a lot of jazz in America, in Family Guy. But, I mean, it's just crazy. I mean, I had one show recently for American Dad that we had Germany, France, Italy, United States, and some other crazy thing, and then the whole story. So it had all those. Oh, and Russia. It was all about the Cold War in Russia. So we had to do the old Russian national anthem and, you know, a whole bunch of crazy things. So it had six different, we have to record that in 2 or 3 hours. So it gets very complex, and we have a pretty large orchestra, too.
Okay. And what is the size of the orchestra?
Well, when we first started Family Guy, it was maybe like 25, and we've evolved to where now it's at least double that. So we're up to into like the 45 to 50 range per episode, and American Dad is just a smidgen under that. Like if we typically will have like maybe 45, and for Stewie Kills Lois, I had the biggest group we had was, I think, 60 players.
Mm-hmm.
So,
yeah, now Stewie Kills Lois, that's an interesting episode, or a group of episodes, because the episode ends with some of your music from Star Trek.
Yeah, it's funny. It was a joke. I mean, you know, they took the ending of Best of Both Worlds,
mm-hmm.
and they checked with the legal department at Paramount, and Paramount had just been bought by CBS, and they decided not to grant even to Paramount the use of their own catalog.
Oh, gee.
And then they sold their catalog to Sony, so now I get my royalty checks from Sony instead of Paramount. So they denied the use of this big cue that we did at the end of Best of Both Worlds,
mm-hmm.
the cliffhanger. And then you notice they did the font, you know, at the end with the... So he tried to get it, and he even asked me to call, and I kept calling the executives there and people, and nobody would grant it. So I did something like it, you know. I had to pull out the score from boxes and boxes and boxes. It took about 3 days of, you know, being in a giant area of scores and finding it. And then I just looked at it and said, okay, I can't go here, but I can go there, and I changed enough to make it work. But we used the original. I even had an old DX, not DX7, but the old D50, Roland D50, that mm-hmm. had a particular sound we used. So we had that patch, and we had all the things we, you know, could do. So I think that's just one of Seth's jokes. You know, like I said, he came home and he would watch Star Trek The Next Generation, and he said, I think he thought about doing that back when he was a kid.
So now, what has been the most rewarding aspect of scoring Family Guy and American Dad?
You know, just getting it done and not having them kill me. I mean, you know, not going to Forest Lawn.
Mm-hmm.
It's kind of a thankless job in a way, because everyone's so busy that they don't have any emotional juice left to be a cheerleader. You know, they don't go, hey, you know, great. Occasionally Seth is outstanding and he'll call and he'll, you know, say, man, that was great. But so it's a uphill grind. But the most fulfilling thing is that when I listen back, you know, or when I'm conducting, you know, I always feel like that's the best thing, is being there with the band and recording it with these people. And I mean, I try to hug all 50 players, and it's a really a cathartic kind of a family reunion. Even if we record every 5 days, it's like we haven't seen each other in a year.
Mm-hmm.
Is how we feel. Oh, thank goodness we're working. You know, my goodness, we're not on the streets. I mean, it's so joyful. And we're either at Fox or we're at Warner Brothers or Sony in these big stages. It's just the joy of making the music is just really the best.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I'd say that's the exciting part of it. And as I write, I try to visualize, or the word would be maybe audialize. I don't know if anyone's used that, where you visualize or you imagine the music being performed as you write, so that you're writing for that effect, and then when you get there and you see that what you imagined comes off even better because the players can breathe so much more life into the notes, that's really a lot of fun, you know. And we crank. We read down each cue maybe once and record it. And as we get flying, we record it and don't even read it. I mean, we don't read it and rehearse. It's just boom. So sometimes we've had 68 starts in 3 hours. So if you divide a three-hour union session, which is 50 minutes per hour, by 60 some cues, you're only doing a finished cue every 2 minutes.
Mm-hmm.
So we're flying. So when you hear the complexity of what's going on and all those style changes, imagine that we're not running through it 12 times. We're flying. We're just, you know, the players are absolutely the Hall of Fame.
Mm-hmm.
Most of them have had their jerseys retired, you know, in Staples Center, because they're like the best tuba player, the best, you know, guitar player, the best everything. So they absolutely, you know, if you give them the music, they make it happen.
Mm-hmm.
So it's when people come to the sessions, they just feel like it's the most astounding operation to watch, and all of the technology back there too that's going on in the booth is just unbelievable. But if you bought a Ferrari, you don't want to go in, open the hood, and look at the engine when you're driving.
Right.
You turn the key on, you say, wow, this is cool, let's drive it. So I don't like to see the engine and care about the engine. I just care that the Ferrari can go really fast and smooth and get to point B. So
mm-hmm.
I've designed all of our technology and what we're doing to work that way. And then Armin Steiner, our engineer, who's recorded everything and got more, you know, gold and platinum records than any human live, he's mixing the surround mix and the stereo mix and stuff simultaneously live. So it's beyond belief what's going on there.
Mm-hmm. So how are you delivering the music these days? It's obviously not going on to like, you know, half inch recording tape.
Mm-hmm.
It's going onto a computer, but how is it delivered to the editor?
Well, it goes to Pro Tools, and then they get a hard drive,
okay.
And a copy of that hard drive goes into the archive, and a copy goes to the music editor, and then he just takes that hard drive, plugs it in into his Pro Tools system, and looks at it to picture before the dub, and then takes that hard drive all down to the dub, and has the crossfades pretty much in there, and all that stuff is done. So everything's pretty much in a nonlinear environment. But believe it or not, they had me have a DAT and a CD that they burn of the thing. So,
mm-hmm.
you know, DATs are still alive. I don't know how they're alive, but they're still alive. And but we used to record the DA-88s
mm-hmm.
and things like that. When we first started Family Guy, and I guess we've been on the show for about 10 years off and on, or more,
mm-hmm.
and so now it's all high def Pro Tools.